Good morning, Posse. Hello, everyone.
Good morning.
Morning. We'll give everybody a few more minutes to join. We're just at the top of the hour now. We're not quite at quorum, but we're getting close. So we'll give everybody another minute or so before we start. Okay, let's get started. We have two topics for today. The first is onboarding a new Vim and cloud instance. And the second one is service mesh. So I'm gonna turn this over to Ben to get started. This was something that was raised during the virtual face-to-face. We wanna see if we can get some consensus on this and then look at next steps. So Ben?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Chris. Can you see my screen?
Yes, you see it.
Okay. So during this session, I'm trying to identify the issue only. So I will skip the part to the workaround right now. But let's focus on identify the issue and investigate the reason behind that and see if we can come up with a workaround and action plan. So the first part is that if you can see this chart on the right side, you see the ONAP have three places to represent a VMware cloud instance. So they are SO, they have SO have the cloud, and let me this has a cloud config JSON file to represent the each of VMware or cloud instance. They call it the cloud side. And the NLI have defined schema object inside schema to represent the VMware cloud instance as a cloud regions. And the robots will also have the source code file to hard code statically the VMware cloud information. So you can say each of kind of representation has its consumers. So VID will talk to NLI and SO, SDC as well, and the apps CDC, VFC, ESR, and Monte Cloud will use the NLI. And any demo user want to perform an end-to-end test, they have to use the robot to perform the VNF data preloading, hit bridge, and other action that will require the Vim cloud information be there. So given this this complexity, it is very hard to register or onboarding a new Vim for the purpose of end-to-end testing. I have shared the workaround how to do that with existing situation. So you can find the wiki page here. Basically, it requires three steps. The first one, you need to add a cloud region object into NLI and associate the object with other object. For example, associate with the cloud region with the customer subscription object. And you after that, you need to add a cloud side inside the SO. And the last, you need to announce another robot VM to handle the interaction between the robot and the additional VMware cloud instance. You cannot just modify this existing one. It will be very complicated. So I suggest that you just launch another one. And I have also posted the head template to for this purpose. You can find it with on this wiki page. So with this existing ONAP in release, there are some assumptions that have been made implicitly. The robot VID and SDNC assume that the cloud owner is hard-coded at the cloud owner. Cloud region ID is the only one to identify our VMware cloud instance. So it is expected to be a globally unique one value. So robot assumes that cloud region ID is just the ID, region ID used to interact with the underlying OpenStack. So given these two assumptions, we come up with a constraint that number zone one VMware cloud instance with the same region ID is allowed to be onboarded or represented in ONAP. This is a very ridiculous constraint right now. And so I'm trying to come up with a short-term workaround and a long-term solution. And from the feedback during the virtual face-to-face session, it seems that this short-term workaround is much more reasonable. And so I will focus on this one. So the short-term workaround is just, it was given by the, in the context that the API between SO and SDNC does not pass the cloud owner between them. It's just to pass the cloud region. So if we don't change the API, we need to redefine or reinterpret the cloud region, okay? So the practice of multi-cloud as well as its consumers have some practice here that we use the Vim ID. So Vim ID is just a compound, a key, consists of cloud owner plus cloud region ID. They are concatenated by the underscore character. Then whenever the consumer of the my cloud want to specify a cloud region or a Vim instance to my cloud, they will use this Vim ID. And my cloud can decode this Vim ID into cloud owner and cloud region, and then use the cloud owner region to assess the information from cloud region from the NOI. So this is how Vim ID works right now for my cloud and its consumer. So the proposed workaround in short term is that maybe Vim can do some change to compose the Vim ID and then populate it into the LCP list whenever the user want to select a cloud region to deploy the VNF or VF module, and pass the Vim ID to SO instead of just pass the cloud region ID. And SO and SDNC, they should accept the Vim ID as input and decode it into cloud and cloud region whenever it want to interact with NOI. And SO and SDNC, they should be better to use a representation from NOI instead of keep a local config file to store the cloud region information, cloud side. So in this way, the API between SO and SDNC will be kept intact, but the constraint imposed by the cloud region will be overcome. Does not require the user to input the Vim ID or cloud owner or anything. They just come with a default cloud owner and cloud region. So I would suggest that robot should require user or allow user to specify the cloud region and the cloud owner, or even by specifying the Vim ID. So the same robot can interact with multiple underlying Vim or cloud. And the robot should always use the NOI to get the access token, etc., in order to interact with the cloud owner. And this workaround guarantees that the centralized representation of Vim cloud instance in ONAP and simplifies the registration or onboarding of a new Vim cloud into ONAP and then minimize the change to ONAP on component. Someone suggests that maybe instead of using the underscore between the cloud owner and the cloud region to form the MID, they suggest they use other characters to do that. I think that is a very reasonable suggestion. We need to consider that and should be finalized in architecture meetings.
Bin, one quick question here.
Yeah.
So right now there is in the cloud configured JSON and SO, there is also the multi-cloud endpoint URL, right? So will this proposal still keep that URL there, or it's also trying to fetch that from ANDI dynamically so that you can get rid of the cloud config.json in SO?
If the short-term workaround applied, SO can get that URL pointing to the my cloud from the NLI. So right now in race one, we have done that. So whenever a user wants to onboarding a Vim cloud through the ESR will invoke the request my cloud to do some resource discovery and population work. So my cloud will put that proxy endpoint of Keystone offer expose the biometric cloud into ANI, into the cloud region. So SO can just reuse that URL. So whenever the requests come to SO, SO want to interact with the underlying VM cloud, the request will go to my cloud. This is how it works. But it's not a mandatory thing. You can always overcome that. If you don't want to use multi-cloud VM, you just put the cloud region directly into ANI and put the keystone of underlying VM cloud into that field. That is possible.
Okay. Okay.
Yes. Okay. So this is a overview of the workaround, and I will leave this long-term solution. Skip this one. So let's have some reasonable action plan. So here is my suggestion that in our subcommittee, we need to finalize the format of VMID. So which character to use to concatenate the cloud owner or cloud region, we need to finalize that as soon as possible. And for VID, I think they need some change to use the VMID instead of the cloud region ID. And I do think they can do that because the VID retrieves the cloud region list from ANI, and what they need to change just as the cloud owner as a prefix to a cloud region to form the VM ID and probably the VM ID into the LCP list on the portal and the GUI portal. So for SO and SDNC, I think we need to separate the two things. The first thing that we need to fix the ID of cloud region. So right now they use the cloud region ID, and I suggest they change that to be VM ID in Beijing release. Okay. So if maybe it's too much to ask them to change the representation of VM cloud instance, so they can keep their own representation right now. But in same release, maybe they should consider to use a centralized representation from ANI for cloud region. For robot, I think right now robot had already interacted with the ANI for the cloud region. So they can, the first thing they should allow users to specify the VM ID whenever they want to preload the VMF data, head bridge, et cetera. And they should leverage ANI for the representation instead of hard coding of the cloud owner and cloud region values. So multi-cloud and VFC and other consumers in business, if the VM ID is finalized different than what we are using, when you should renew the VM ID according to the finalized decision.
Yeah, yeah, this is Srini here. Yeah, I have one maybe clarification related question. Mm-hmm. I do understand that, you know, cloud region ID is a kind of not a good, I mean, maybe it doesn't really give the right meaning. Maybe VM ID is the right way to represent that. But having said that, isn't the cloud region ID, is it not a input from the user? And if so, user can ensure to provide a unique name, right? Unique ID or unique name. In which case, won't that be, I mean,
no.
Won't that solve the issue?
Okay. Then let's go back to this constraint, this page. Okay. So this cloud region is not something you user can input as he or she wish.
Oh, I see.
As a robot assumes that this one is the value defined by the world deployed by OpenStack instance. So you have no option to change that if you have two OpenStack instances have the same region ID, there's no way you can input onboarding them into the same.
Okay, so the problem statement really is that cloud region ID today in ONAP is not a user input value.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Thank you.
Welcome. So any suggestion or feedback?
I mean, the only suggestion, maybe I'm just wondering, can we make cloud region ID as the input from the user? And if so, does it require many changes everywhere? Or I'm just
that is possible. That is theoretically it's possible, but it will impose a lot of change to all of our components.
Guys, it's not something you want to do, right? Because that creates visibility from the tenant perspective onto the physical infrastructure. You don't want to do that. That's not how clouds are built.
No, I am saying that, you know, cloud, I mean, I think Bin saying that even maybe taking that as the input requires more changes than the suggestion which is being made here.
Remember that infrastructure needs to be managed independently from what...
Alex, we are not able to hear you. Sometimes we are able to hear you, but sometimes we are not.
Sorry, I'm just saying that the infrastructure needs to be managed independently from what the tenants see. You cannot provide visibility to your infrastructure for your tenants, for your customers. Look at Amazon. They don't tell you where their VIMs are.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you on that. Cloud region ID is a misnomer. I mean, anyway, I think Bin is suggesting that that could be even more changes.
So what we the request to us is what character is the best separator between these? The underscore, the dot, or the pound? Do people on the call have thoughts?
Colon would be good because that's traditionally used to separate things like these.
So one thing I do want to add on dynamic selection, as you know, very well know, when you have the ONAP optimization framework coming in, we will decide dynamically on the cloud region ID for placement, right? It's not going to be static. Instead of user input, it's going to be dynamically decided by the component, and then SO is going to act on it. Right?
There's one use case where it could be specified through the VID.
Sure. Yeah. VID input as like a user defined choice, and the other is like even OF dynamically deciding which cloud region to use. Yeah.
I mean, the way I normally one would assume is that, you know, there is some user input, call it as whatever it is, cloud region ID or VIM ID or whatever it is. But late, and then you also associate with some VIM URI and things like that. Right. From the VIM URI, one can find out actual UID from the VIM. So you could have done that way, but looks like it is not done that way. So we are basically, I mean, you always need to have a user input and then figure out the dynamic information dynamically at runtime. That's the right thing to do. But anyway, now that we don't have that cloud region ID is not input, then maybe Bin proposal may require lesser changes than making cloud region ID as a user input.
Hey, Christian.
But just to make sure we are on the same page, so VID, when it comes to VID portal, then what will be the changes in the VID portal? Oh, it'll be VIM ID, right? Correct. Yeah, it uses VIM ID instead of cloud region ID. That will do the same job.
Okay, Shocker's up next.
Yes. Thanks, Chris. So I have a question, right? So what we're discussing right now is semantics, right? Whether we use a VIM ID or a cloud ID or whatever, right? So to me, it's not that critical. But what I'm trying to understand, though, is how is the service going to be created so that the cloud infrastructure, the VIM infrastructure, is specified with the request so that SO and the rest of the components know how to orchestrate that function.
Okay. As far as in REST one, it was manually specified in read GUI portal. So in REST two, we will have OF coming to place, and OF will select one of cloud region according mm-hmm. to the policy, according to the constraint, the policy defined, and some other requirement. So OF will get a list of cloud region from an AI and filter them by the constraints. This is how it will work in cloud in REST 2 and the future, I think. I don't know if the read portal approach is still in place or not, but they are, yeah, this is how it works in REST 1, REST 2.
So are we talking about cloud regions or cloud or different cloud infrastructure? Like, for example, is there a possibility that a customer would want to orchestrate some VNFs on Azure and other VNFs on AWS? And how would the customer reflect the fact that some of the VNFs should go on Azure and some of the VNFs should go on AWS?
They have some attribute to distinct between them. Okay, so I don't know how the Azure or other public cloud are represented in ANI. Right now, in ANI, just reflect the OpenStack.
You can do it in a couple of ways. You can have a policy that says that for a given customer, all VNFs have to be instantiated in a particular environment. You can also specify dependencies on as a service infrastructure in your Tosca templates. We would just need to have a due node type that indicates that we want to deploy on top of PaaS or YaaS or a function as a service environment.
No, Alex, I understand that, right? But what I'm trying to understand though is what is this feature? What is this feature trying to accomplish?
You mean it's a workaround?
So there are many questions that I have, but I don't want to go there at this point in time, right? Because, you know, back to what Alex just said, right? If it is one cloud infrastructure versus the other, the impact is going to be significant, not only on SO, but on the SDN controller and so on and so forth, because there would have to be different methods to basically create the virtual network on one cloud versus the other. And that has to be baked into the design and the implementation of the, you know, SDN controller and the rest of the components. But for this one over here, what I'm trying to understand is, are we trying to just, is this a semantic, just changing the way we referencing the ID from one notation to another, or is there more to it?
I think okay. Ideally, you have an option, right? You can have the ONAP component interrupt the cloud region differently than what they have done right now. So that will that can be defined or determined by the ARC community, okay? But right now, my pursuit right now is that just given the release schedule and given the difficulty we doing that doing demo, and given the different the SO, SDNC, robot cloud, multi cloud, and many components talk to OpenStack directly, and they interact the way they interact with the cloud region ID, okay. So I put this solution to make it easy And it's another finalize of the semantic of cloud region in given this workaround. So we can defer the discussion of cloud region ID, how to interpret it, okay, and how it can be reflected to the public cloud or other cloud. And that is not, it doesn't matter right now.
Bin, did you analyze, so I mean, what I understand from you to Ramki's answer, cloud region ID is indeed the input in case of VID or from the user there, but except that in the robot VM, some of it is kind of not taking that cloud region ID that is input in the VID. So did you guys analyze, you know, making changes to that robot itself to instead of, you know, hard coding or instead of getting from the OpenStack, can it get from the, you know, A and I? Did you?
No.
Does it make sense at all?
Frankly, it's a very complicated to explain the whole thing because VID, robot, SO, they operate in their own logic. So what I have learned that VID get a list of cloud region from NI. So NI will have cloud owner and cloud region to uniquely identify our cloud region in that. The NI schema tell me that. But VID just show up the cloud region in the list. Okay, this is inconsistent between them. And the second that the robot have the same cloud region, cloud owner, but robot will use the cloud region ID as the input when you send a request to OpenStack. So from the ONAP user, the cloud region should be have the same semantic meaning, right? So when I select the cloud region named region one in VID, I'm supposing that the region one can be inputted to, can be used in robot as well. I don't want to use a different value for the same cloud region ID, right? So this is
Hello. I have a question. This is Parviz. Can we go back to that picture that has all the ONAP components, please?
Yes.
Yeah, this one. Okay, if you really look at R1, you said that the SO would basically send a query to OOF, and OOF would go and grab the information from ANI, correct?
No. OOF is not coming into play in race one. It is will be there in race two.
Okay. We have to separate release two from release three. Release three is clean cut. You rely on ANI, correct? In Casablanca.
I assume that we are be reasonable. Yeah.
That is release three. So let's not talk about release three. Let's see what fixes we need for release two of Beijing.
Okay.
You said that between SO and the SDNC, you don't really pass the cloud owner ID. You only pass the region ID, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Is that the same with other component, or this is only for SDNC?
Okay. Robot will. Okay. Robot have the cloud owner and cloud region ID, but the cloud owner is hard coded. So there's no way you can change that value. So you can say robot is another one. Okay, back to your first question or point. You can say VID. Yep. Okay, VID will get the cloud region from NI. So it just show up the region ID in the list. And it will pass the region ID to the SO. Okay.
Yeah.
But SO will use that region ID to look up the cloud side. And there will be other properties to tell what's the cloud region ID there. So this is not the constraint input, but this is, but it's really confusing here. And but the robot will use the region ID to talk to OpenStack.
OpenStack is only a special case. There are other cloud providers, as Jacques mentioned, Azure and AWS and others. Yeah, we need to have a solution, a generic solution, not only for OpenStack. Here is my main concern. So at some point, SO is going to send a query to OS. And OS for Vim selection or multi-cloud selection. OS has to have that knowledge. You said that OS, I just was listening, that gets that information based on policy from ANAI.
Yes.
Okay, so that is not going to change, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that is ANAI in long term. ANAI is where that you have access to that information. Mm-hmm. Correct?
Yeah.
Okay, now OS has to make the selection because SO already sent the request and has to get that information back and then pass that information for resource allocation to the other component. In this case, for multi-VIM, you have to allocate resources. As Shaker said, you have a bunch of resources on Azure, some other VNFs on AWS. So you have to have that information before you make that allocation, resource allocation. So SO has to have that knowledge, correct?
So I'm not sure about that because I'm not an expert in SO or OS. But what you said is reasonable. And I'm not clear is who OF or SO should have that knowledge. I'm not sure about that point.
Okay, Chris, we need to clarify this. This is not clear.
But I want to mention
this,
that.
This is confused.
Yeah, another point is that about, you need to think about SDNC, how SDNC come into play in this working flow.
Well, you said SDNC doesn't have to pass the cloud owner ID. You already said that.
Yeah, it's just
you said between SO and SDNC.
Okay.
It's convoluted. It's not clear.
Let's think about it. Okay, I don't know how SDNC work, but I assume since SO have passed the region ID to SDNC, I assume that SDNC need to access one of either SO or either word ANI to get other information of the region. But I don't know which can where it gets information. But if just the region ID get passed to SDNC, my concern that if SDNC need to talk to ANI, it will assume that the cloud owner is hard coded.
Oh.
Clarification on SO and OF. OF is the one which dynamically decides that cloud region are now with the Vim ID. That should not be stored in SO, right? I mean, there's only one OS, the dynamic decider. The only other place where you can get a user input should be VID. That's it. I mean, this is the way, right way.
Say that again, Ramki.
Sorry?
What is the only right way to do it?
No. Basically, user input, VID, right? Correct. User input, correct. Then OF dynamically decides which cloud region to choose and then passes to SO and SO uses it, right? Correct. SO should not store this information. Then it becomes like a completely static mapping game, right? Correct.
I would agree, but I would also say that the real way to fix all this is to actually build an information model for the infrastructure that is on-premise and on-demand environments. And if we did that, then we would be able to model them correctly and wouldn't have to do any of this. But to me, that's the right way to do it. But as a as a shortcut, you're right. DSO should store that information.
So whatever Ramki said and whatever Alexa has agreed, is it not the, I mean, that's the right way to do it in my view also, but is it not also simple to do it?
I mean, yeah, I know that. That's correct. So yeah. Exactly.
Well, the issue is you know, going out down that road may take more than the Beijing release. And I think that's the concern that we're facing is can we do something in the short run while we the longer run?
Not exactly. So, for example, as we register VIMs, as we register on-demand infrastructure through the multi-VIM layer, all of that information can also contain, you know, some knowledge of what these environments are like. I mean, it's not like it's a complete black box, right? We're gonna know what we're registering, whether it's a VIM or a PaaS layer from Azure or a YaaS layer from Amazon. Should be able to discern that and send that information to AAI.
Alex, can we identify the steps? Chris, I don't know if you have time for this. We need to just simplify this in a matter of a few steps. This is convoluted. It's not really easy to follow.
Yeah. That's the part. We have all this in place in OOF, you know, and also multi-cloud. Everything is, we have absolute clarity. But I think now it's a question of just implementing it, right? Given there is past baggage out there, you know, existing code out there. I think, you know, that's a challenge,
me,
I guess.
Ramke, let me ask you a very specific question. Today, when SO sends the query to OOF, OOF has to have the knowledge about VIM and multi-cloud, correct?
Yeah, OOF. Exactly. It will make the OOF will make the selection through policy and then tell you that this is the cloud to use dynamically, right? Based on several constraints.
Okay.
Correct.
So SO gets that information from OOF. How the OOF gets the information from ANAI or somewhere else, that's a different issue.
Now
SO needs to really do this resource assignment or allocation. It has to have that knowledge.
So one clarification there, Parviz, all we are saying is SO should not statically store the information right anywhere. It's, I mean, basically that violates the whole workflow and architecture, right? So basically,
I'm not saying the storing the information. The information comes back to SO. Now, back to Shakir's question. If you have some VNFs on Azure and some VNFs on AWS, in the NSD or VNFD, those VNFs are already listed, correct? So SO has to really, based on that information, which is a part of the modeling work, it has to go and allocate the right resources, correct? Which VIM should have which resource? SO is in a position to do that. How would you make that happen?
So are we saying that you have already pre-decided? That means nail the cloud, right? That means the VNF can only work on Azure, right? That's the case you're bringing up, correct?
This is the reality.
So that means think about that come written as a policy, right? So basically it says, hey, there is a policy that this is the only cloud it can be paced. There is no flexibility. And then OOF looks at it and then returns, finished. But you keep the same workflow. You're not changing the workflow for, you know, any specific case. You cover it through policy, right? Simple.
Okay. As far as I understand, the cloud region represented in NNI should cover both the OpenStack, VLO, and Azure, and any cloud or VM instance. So whenever some component for OOF want to find out what the type or flavor of the VM or cloud, it can look into the DCL information in the cloud region object. So there's some third property type or version give you a hint that this is Azure, that is OpenStack, etc. So OF will get the requirement from the NFD, VNFD world policy that, okay, this VNF should be placed on Azure cloud, okay. So OF will get the list of coverage and find out those who VMware cloud are belong to a type of Azure, not OpenStack. Like OF can do that. And then OF will pass this VMware ID, the cloud region ID to back to SO. SO will do the orchestration, right? Either through multi-cloud or directly to the underlying VMware cloud. And at that time, SO needs to know the specific information, for example, what's the tenant, what's the user name, token, so that SO can talk to the OpenStack or multi-cloud can do that to OpenStack or Azure. So at that time, SO or multi-cloud need to use the cloud region ID to find out those information from ANI. Okay, so you can say OF need to assess the cloud region and find pick up one cloud region and pass that information to SO, and SO use that information to get the other information as well. So this is the handle to tell you which cloud region was specified is very important to be consistent between different components.
Yeah, but you mentioned cloud region, but not cloud owner. Did you mention cloud owner when you talked?
I'm talking about cloud region and its identification and how to identify it uniquely within the context of ONAP.
But you mentioned cloud owner as a part of that, yeah?
Right now, ANI defined the cloud region object and use the cloud owner plus cloud region to identify it uniquely. So if you just use the cloud region, you cannot get the information from our cloud region. You have to specify.
In the ANI, there's a little bit confusion from the terminology perspective. They use the terminology called cloud region, which is uniquely identified by cloud owner ID and cloud region ID. So when Bin says cloud region, cloud owner ID plus cloud region ID.
Yes.
That's a good clarification.
This is a confusion. Cloud owner, this is the property name and the cloud region
ID.
Sorry for the confusion.
So I don't know whether it makes sense or not, but you know, if you make cloud region is same as cloud region ID, basically remove the cloud owner as the XML key in the schema, would that work everywhere or is it something need to be analyzed? Because what we are saying is that some components treating a cloud region ID as the unique thing, and some components are treating cloud owner plus cloud region ID as unique. I'm just wondering if you just make a cloud region ID in ANI as the unique without considering cloud owner, would everything work okay or would that have any other issues? There's something to be asked.
Again, you can do anything, but the cost matters, okay? How many components you need to touch, at least you have to change the NI, so you have to change the multi-cloud as well as the other components who are using right existing schema.
Okay, so I'm just wondering which one is easier. But
the other question is for the operators, what are you populating in the cloud owner and cloud region ID, semantically, in terms of characters and is this approach realistic, in terms of Bin's proposal to use the underscore?
Chris, it's not really that important whether it's underscore or a hash sign or a dot. I don't see any significance in choosing one of those three. We can choose underscore, yeah?
I think the reason it was brought. Sorry, this is Steve. I haven't been so much into programming for a while, but I think the reason it was brought up is the underscore appears can be hidden in some editors. I think that was the only reason.
I thought Brian said also that AT&T was using that in their cloud owner string, yes. but I'm not entirely sure on that.
Oh, okay. So they've already chosen that as a keyword inside the cloud owner string.
Is there a unique identifier associated with the cloud region or whatever it is that we've onboarded through the multi-vim?
Sorry, again?
A question for Ramke, I guess. Ramke, when you, Ben as well, I guess. When we onboard a vim, right, when we onboard a cloud region, or we onboard Azure, is there some unique identifier that we can use to equate to this other format that we're talking about here?
I think the unique one is just the endpoint plus the cloud region ID.
Well, but I mean, do we have a UUID somewhere that we can assign and use as a reference?
UUID is feasible but not user friendly. You cannot ask a user to remember the UUID and then register.
Do simple substitution, right? Meaning that you can dynamically substitute. You know, given the UUID, you can come up with this other identity.
So this is Shakar again. So, and I really, you know, from a semantics perspective, right? So I think I understand a little bit now what the request is, right? But before we decide.
So Alex, I would like to add is, for Azure, there can be multiple instances, right? So the endpoint would be the one which actually signifies that this is the exact cloud region instance or Vim ID you're looking at. The UAD, yes, exactly, it is useful to identify what type of, you know, cloud it is.
Hey, sorry. Shakar was talking.
Sorry, we spoke over one another, right? But that's
sorry
fine.
About that.
That's,
go ahead.
No, that's fine, right? So regardless of what we're trying to do right now is trying to concatenate two fields into the Vim ID. And the question is it an underscore, should we use a dot, or should we use the hash sign, right? But really, it really doesn't matter, because regardless of what separator you're going to use, then you're going to have to enforce a rules on the cloud owner field as well as the cloud region ID field so they don't use that separator.
I think it's only the cloud owner field because yes. The replacement is only for the first one, or the separator is only the first one.
I understand, but then we have to put a rule that says the cloud owner field can't use the three characters that we're proposing, either one.
Right.
You're right.
So now we got to go back and make sure that the rules are enforced everywhere.
Right.
To me, I'm not sure why this is a why, and yeah, I'm not sure why this is an issue, right? Yeah.
Sir, hold on. So I think if we have just one representation place for Vim collaborating, mm-hmm. so there will be just one place to enforce that rule. It's the place in NI. Okay, so every other component just use the volume. They don't input that anymore.
Mm-hmm. But who inputs the cloud owner string into ANAI? How is that?
The user. ONAP user or cloud owner who want to onboard in their cloud Vim into ONAP instance. So there will be an onboarding process.
Okay. Part of the onboarding process would be for the user to specify the character string to identify the cloud owner. There, we have to make sure that we enforce the editing rules to make sure that the cloud owner field would never contain the separator, whatever separator we need to use, right?
It's durable. We have ESR to provide the portal to register a VM instance. And there, we can enforce the rule. And for ANI, I don't know how to do that, but maybe we can do, we have a chance if ANI can support such kind of enforcement.
So why can't we create yet another ID, Vim ID, that and map it into the cloud owner and cloud region and have it be unique?
Okay, the question is that we need to use the ID to find out to get the object from ANI. ANI will use cloud owner and cloud region separately. You cannot do through other ID. You have to specify cloud owner, cloud region whenever you want to get the cloud region information from ANI.
Yeah, no, I understand. I think you know, the what we're trying to propose, right, is so unique. I don't want to call it unique, but it's so restrictive that if somehow, some way, somebody in the future does not take into consideration the separator, then you're going to cause a problem everywhere.
Okay. As far as I know, cloud owner is just user input. So you can input any character. You can define the rules for this cloud owner. It's just you can do, but cloud region ID, you have nothing to do that right now. Maybe in future we can change the semantics, but right now it's just for OpenStack, it's just region ID. Okay, so we have a chance to put a rule for inputting the cloud owner. And okay, I have another slide. It's a long-term solution to, I'm trying to get rid of such constraints. But it was another good idea from the someone's perspective. For example, we need to change the API define definition.
We're not at API freeze now. I'm just wondering, it's assuming we go with this and then we have a particular semantics and meaning or subfield of the of what we're carrying the protocol, and then in a subsequent release we split that into two. I guess that's the long-term solution would be the nice idea. So we split the Vim ID into two parameters, cloud owner and cloud region ID or something like that. How will we deal with the forward compatibility and the migration and the stepwise upgrade from that point of view? Keep the ID. But you keep the ID intact and then we add both.
Yeah, and depreciate this one in future.
Okay, so you go for a two-step release. So in principle, we'll carry the same information twice, and then we would deprecate.
So Beijing, we do the Vim ID. Casablanca, we do the Vim ID plus cloud owner and cloud region ID. And then D-release, we just do the cloud owner and cloud region.
I support that idea.
I guess so. You proposed it.
Yeah. Yeah. Just.
You could also do another one that if you actually have. No, you can't. You have to do it that way.
Remember, the backward compatibility is a very important principle we have.
No, I fully agree.
Yeah.
And I'm not debating that. That's why I'm asking the question. The question is two releases enough? In fact, there's only one release compatibility. We haven't decided that in the TSC, Chris, by the way.
Right. Helen owns the backwards compatibility and the migration path, and she's going to be bringing forward the proposal before the end of the release. So we will be debating that. You know, from the architecture standpoint, you know, what we're going to have to do is get to API versioning and then go through this. You know, my thought is doing something like this early makes it easier to change later because the install base won't be as great. And then the later we wait on it, you know, the more we'd have to drag it out.
But the APIs are not frozen now, right?
No. Not for another couple of weeks. But the issue is we just passed M2, the functionality freeze. A large portion of our developer base is going on holiday starting Thursday for at least a week. I know that some take additional time. And then early March is the M3 API freeze. So there's not a whole lot of time to make changes, especially to get agreement across a whole bunch of projects. So I think this is why this was proposed this way. You know, taking advantage of the existing APIs for the short term and then being able to expand into the long term.
So, but the only, it only doesn't impact the projects that just transit the information. Everyone else has to understand the decomposition of this.
Right.
That doesn't sound like much of a saving, to be honest.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks. So I think the suggestion from the team is to reach out to some of these affected projects and see if you can do more towards the long term in the Beijing release.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I will try to do that, but I'll see what we're having.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Ben. So the next topic is Ramke. That is the service mesh.
Sorry, Chris, I should have sent you a note still. My bad, I should have sent you a note, not ready yet with the full presentation. I can give a summary, but that sort of will be a repeat of what we did in you know, in the developer forum at Santa Clara. I don't want to repeat that. Bringing in additional information, still working on it.
Okay. Let's see. So that's the end of the formal agenda. Any other topics that we should cover while people are together? Otherwise, I'll break early and give you all back extra time in your day. Okay. One quick announcement is that I brought the architecture for Beijing to the TSC, and it's currently undergoing a TSC vote and comment period. There are some comments that are coming back from the TSC members. Once the vote and comment collection is complete, I'll be bringing that back to this team so that we may need to, we will need to make some updates to the Beijing architecture based on that. So just a quick heads up, there's nothing with the main architecture picture. The comments all seem to be coming in with the project specific information at the back of the deck.
Hey, Chris, when is the deadline for that?
It's out for a vote now. It should be the next couple of days. So I'll be bringing it back most likely in the next week or so.
Okay. So we still have time, yeah?
Yeah. And then we'll make the updates as appropriate once that comes in. This is just a heads up to the team that we will need to do a little bit of extra review and editing based on the feedback. Okay, with that, we've run through the agenda for today. So I'm going to break the call early and give everybody back 55 minutes. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chris. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.